You're listening to the Children's Hour, and before the break, you heard John McCutcheon from his Four Seasons Autumn Song CD with the Pumpkin Man, and the Pumpkin Patch is the Happy Racers from A Scary Very Halloween, and all kinds of thanks go out to Isaac for his help researching and producing that piece on pumpkins. I hope you learned as much as I did, which was a lot. We have a whole bunch more coming up for you, including Corbett's piece on what is the story behind jack-o'-lanterns. And we're going to learn what does it mean if someone has a teal pumpkin. But in the meantime, this is Triple Rainbow right here on the Children's Hour.
Everyone knows that you dress up on Halloween. But what about the 364 days between? Why do we have to dress so boring when we could look amazing? Of course, there's the clothes that you wear to school and the store. But after a while, they're a bore. I want more. Every day be Halloween. There's a place called the American Veterans Thrift Store. You should have seen the look on my face when I walked through the door. Miles and miles of colorful costumes all waiting for me. Cost just $1.63. I picked four that I can use to be a witch or a centaur. Regular clothes make me snore. I want more. I wanna be a princess. I wanna be a doctor. I wanna be a dinosaur. I want more. I wanna knock 'em out at the grocery store. I wanna look amazing. Why can't every day be Halloween?
Jack-o'-lanterns originated in Ireland from a myth about a man named Stingy Jack. In this myth, Jack invites the devil to drink. Not wanting to pay, he asks the devil to turn into a coin, but he keeps the coin and puts the coin next to a silver cross, which stops the devil from changing back. Eventually, Jack releases the devil on the condition that he would not come back and bother Jack for the next year, and that if he died, the devil would not claim his soul. Then, when the devil returned after a year, Jack tricked the devil into climbing into a tree to get its fruit. While the devil was in the tree, Jack hewed a cross in the bark so the devil could not come down again until he made the devil promise that he would not bother him for another 10 years. Soon after Jack died, as legend goes, God would not let his soul into heaven. The devil couldn't have his soul either, so they sent him off with nothing but a piece of coal to light his way. Jack put the coal into a carved turnip, and Jack of the Lantern has been wandering the earth to this day. Carved turnips have been an autumn tradition in Ireland for centuries, but when Irish settlers arrived in America, they didn't have any turnips, so they used pumpkins instead.
That's Corbett from our kids' crew. He got some of his information and the story from history.com. In the background, you are hearing Geralf from a release called Happily Ever Now with Owl's Dream. We've got a free learning guide that goes with this episode that meets educational standards nationwide. You can find it at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Pumpkin Spice. Coming up next, Blue Moon Boy, right here on the Children's Hour.
One little jack-o'-lantern rolls down the street. He's got no arms and no hands. He's just a face with no knees. And I ask him, hey, that little jack-o'-lantern, where do you go? You should be out on some porch with no place you have to go to. He stopped where he rolled and then he turned round to me. And clearing his voice, well, then he started to speak. He said that, sir, I feel that's a generalization. Sir, you're in for realization. Follow me down this old street. Well, I got something you ought to see. He turned back around and then he started to roll. Then something joined him. It came from somebody's porch. It was another little jack-o'-lantern. He seemed to know. They never spoke, but seemed to know where to go to.
Okay.
Two little jack-o'-lanterns rolling along. And what I saw behind them is why I wrote this song. When they reached the end of the street, well, a stranger crowd you never would meet. There were ghosts and goblins and witches and bats, vampires, mummies, 13 black cats. Jack-o'-lantern, he rolled up right up to me and he asked, well, what did you learn? And I said that, sir, I must apologize. There were things I did not realize. Well, I thought that you were just a gourd, but your life is anything but bored. And then he turned round and that's when I wrote this song.
Party on.
Are you going trick-or-treating on Halloween? Trick-or-treating involves going door-to-door, oftentimes to the houses of strangers and threatening them. When we say trick-or-treat, we're really saying, give me a treat or else I'll pull a trick or a prank on your house. And if you stop to think about it, trick-or-treating is kind of crazy. It's a tradition that breaks so many rules, like accepting candy from strangers, bothering our neighbors, dressing up in disguise, and of course, eating more candy and staying up way later than is normally allowed. So why do we do this? Where did the trick-or-treating tradition come from? And why do we dress up in costumes? Well, the ancient Celts of the British Isles wore disguises at this time of year on a holiday called Samhain to humor the evil spirits. Young men would dress up in white and mask their faces. Trick-or-treating evolved out of a medieval British Isles tradition called souling. The poor would go from door to door on Hallowmas, November 1st, asking for money and food in exchange for prayers for the dead on All Souls Day, which is November 2nd. We heard about where jack-o'-lanterns come from and how they started with carved-out turnips. The first recorded combination of wearing a disguise and going door-to-door begging for treats was in 1895 in Scotland. Immigrants from Ireland, Scotland, and England brought the traditions to the United States and Canada, and the earliest known use of the term trick-or-treat dates back to 1927 from Blackie, Alberta, where it was reported, quote, "The youthful tormentors were at back door and front, demanding edible plunder by the word trick-or-treat, to which the inmates gladly responded and sent the robbers away rejoicing," unquote. Trick-or-treating spread west to east across the North American continent during the 1930s and 1940s. It was firmly established as an American tradition by 1952. Dressing up in disguise and going door to door, getting coins, sweets, or cakes is still common in Scotland and Ireland, but the children must perform for the household. Kids have to sing a song or recite a poem before they get the treats. Can you imagine if you had to perform a poem or a song at every house instead of saying trick or treat? What would you do?
We're going trick or treating, everybody's fearing ghosts. Ooh, I got a spooky feeling running up and down my bones. Cause it's hell. Costumes everywhere we go. Ooh.
That was Jackie B in the Miniband with a tune called Spooky Halloween. During my trick or treat story, you heard the Monologue Rockstars and Donny Ozone. And before that, we had Fuchs and Susie Shelton with Party Monsters. Are you ready for Halloween? We're thinking about Halloween today on the Children's Hour as we think about pumpkins. Do you have your costume ready? I hope so. You can send us a message and tell us what you're going to be for Halloween by going to childrenshour.org and look for the Contact Us page where there's lots of ways to reach out. Tell us about your costume and how you're celebrating Halloween this year. We've got some information about what those teal pumpkins mean that you see as you're trick-or-treating. You can find our learning guide with this episode called Pumpkin Spice at childrenshour.org. In the meantime, this is Levity Beat and the Itty Bitty Beats right here on the Children's Hour.
The cauldron.
A fire was stoking
it higher.
A potion.
I wonder what's in the recipe.
Lightning and thunder.
Beat of a bongo, toot of kazoo.
Strum of a bass.
Hack of a soo.
Rhythm of a banjo. Strum it staccato.
Just one sip and you'll never stop dancing.
Hey, hey.
Listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
The Children's Hour is now producing weekly educational modules to go with every episode, thanks to a grant from the Albuquerque Community Foundation. You can support this effort too. Go to childrenshour.org and click donate. The Children's Hour is grateful to the Outpost Performance Space in Albuquerque, New Mexico, for hosting our recordings. Many thanks to New Mexico Arts, a division of the New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs, and the National Endowment for the Arts for their support of the Children's Hour. The Children's Hour is grateful to the City of Albuquerque Cultural Services Department and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund for their support.